Welcome to the Building Wealth Through Commercial Real Estate podcast, where we will discuss with industry experts on how to create wealth and build passive income from apartment buildings, self-storage, mobile home parks, and much more. Here is your host, Jonathan Way.
Welcome to the Building Wealth Through Commercial Real Estate podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Way, and I'm the founder of Greystone Capital Group, my investment firm. If you're interested in passively investing with us, please visit greystonecapgroup.com and join our investor network. Okay, and now on to the show. Hello, everyone. Today, I have a special guest. His name is Adrian Smooth. He's a friend of mine, of Tim Mai, one of my friends, and he referred to me. And I want to welcome him to our podcast show today. His name is Adrian Smooth, and he's part of Lifestyle REI. So, Adrian, can you please talk about yourself and your background?
Yeah, John, I appreciate you having me here. I am from Central Florida. We're a little town called Plant City, the winter start rate capital of the world. Okay. I got my start in real estate about 20 years ago. The short story is I started out as a really terrible tenant. We have eviction notices for spaghetti wrestling parties, mud wrestling parties, pudding wrestling parties. Okay. You don't rent to 20-year-old Adrian and his friends.
Okay.
But that's why I went and bought a house, because we got tired of being evicted, bought a house, rented out the rooms to cover my mortgage. So I lived for free. Yeah. At 20 years old without mom and dad, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. Fast forward, I decided I'll do it again. Only understood what the bank said, bought another property. And that time I'm losing a little bit every month, but the bank said, don't worry, real estate goes straight up. You'll refinance and everything will be fine. When I went to go refinance, that was the 08 crash. So I couldn't refinance because the property value was going down.
Oh.
And I had the adjustable rate mortgage. Yes. So my payment was actually going up. I eventually gave that up as a short sale. Ding to my ego, ding to my credit, but really a big ding to my integrity. I'll fast forward a little bit longer. I bought some more single family houses, but then eventually I found the niche of mobile homes. Okay. I've done a little bit in different areas of mobile homes. We can talk about the different ways to invest, but the one I really landed with is an individual mobile home with the land, a single unit, okay, long-term rentals. And I have since then transitioned my entire business over there.
That's a very unique niche. And I never heard no one on my guests so far, and I have quite a lot of guests, do that. So that's very interesting. I'm fascinated about that, because normally a lot of my peers and people I know, they buy large mobile home parks, kind of like a multifamily, yep, or a RV park, where you own the land, you could rent the spots, and you can just go rent to own it. You have it and you rent it out and you can buy it later on. But they make money off just charging the rents and have some very few fees, just like in maybe common areas. But the homeowner owns the home or the mobile home, and they take care of their own mobile home park. So in your situation, you found a niche. You said, you know what? Instead of owning the whole park, maybe I just buy one little home and the land. I guess it comes with land too, right? So
exactly. Yeah. And these can be in communities that look like a mobile home park, but they're all individually parceled out. So think of any subdivision, but instead of the home being made out of concrete or made out of the wood frame, they came and built it there. They just brought these mobile homes in. Or maybe it's a more rural area where it's a half acre plus lot, and I get to own the parcel, which is a little bit of land banking is the way I look at those, while I have the mobile home there and I get to rent it out. So okay. It is a very forgotten, hidden niche, which is one reason I love it, because I don't have to compete with everyone else.
Yeah, I think there's really not much competition at all that I know of, that anyone in that space does it. Now, let me understand. You actually go and find the owners of this mobile home, and it could be a little Class C or a little, you know, like an older one I see in the back of your picture, a little bit rundown, and then you get a discount on the price, and then what do you fix it up and you rent it out? Is that what you do?
That's my favorite method. I fix it up, rent it out. We can really use any strategy that anyone has talked about. We can do a lease option with it. We can do a rent to own. You know, we could even turn it into a single unit mobile home park. I don't usually use that strategy, but it's possible if you really don't like the property, the home. You know, it's a really old one, like you referred to behind me, which is like an old 1960s that came with most of its siding. I could sell that to someone and say, hey, your lot rent is X dollars a month, and now the maintenance and repairs is on them. But really, I like to own the two together. I get a really long-term resident, a nice blue-collar handyman, handywoman, takes pride in their home. It's not that stereotype of trailer trash that people you know, that aren't familiar with it, you know, Netflix specials and the movies make fun of. Yeah. It's not all that. A lot of our residents take pride in their homes and they really want to be there a long time.
That's good. I love that because you want good, hardworking people who love their home and take care of the community. That's what you really ideal. That's your ideal tenant, ideal homeowner, I assume. This homeowner, you sell to them, right? So you sell or you rent to them? You know, tenant, right? Tenant, you sell, you rent to them.
You know, I've done both. Okay. I much rather own it and rent to them because that money doesn't ever stop coming in. You know, yeah. If we sell it to them on payments, yes, we have a little bit less work because they are responsible for all the maintenance and repairs. But eventually that payment's going to stop. And that means I got to work again if the payment stops. I like the long-term lazy money.
Okay. So you want to rent the mobile home parks to a good couple or a person who works hard and who you trust, do a background check. Okay.
Exactly. And also, if I'm renting, especially with those ones that I have like that acre or acre and a half lot, I call those my lotto tickets because eventually the path of progress is going to come in and a builder is going to want that land.
Yes.
So I cash flow it just like some mobile home parks can be that way. If you buy the right mobile home park, then, you know, those are multiple acres a lot of times. Someone comes in, city grows around it, and they say, you know what? We want this as a strip center. And the park owner gets to say, I bet you do. Here's a big check I want.
Oh, I see. Oh, so you're banking on appreciation or some growth that, and Plant City could grow your town because I see, you know, Orlando, all that stuff like that. All the area is getting hot. So maybe it comes to your way, you know, so.
Oh yeah. The Orlando Tampa area is growing right in the middle and we're not dead center, but we're pretty close. And
yeah,
everyone that lives in our area, a lot of them travel to Orlando, Tampa to work because they can't afford the housing.
Oh yeah, it's too expensive. And the insurance is another issue in Florida. That's a big issue in Florida.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I guess because you're more inland, it probably should be less for you guys if you're not so close to the coast, I assume.
Yeah. I mean, we are inland. We're about an hour driving distance inland. So that does help a lot when it comes to the hurricanes. Hurricanes scare a lot of people when it comes to mobile homes. Mm-hmm. But one of my mentors got me through that mindset. He goes, well, Adrian, there's 1965 still sitting around. I was like, yeah. And his reply was, they've been through more hurricanes than you have. Like, okay, you're right. Now, are they as safe? No. Can we get insurance, the same insurance on a 1965? No, we can't. But that means if we're taking a higher risk, we need a higher reward. So we get a better cash flow on them.
I see.
If that doesn't feel right in your stomach or that doesn't allow you to sleep well at night, you buy a newer home that you can get insurance on. So they do make new manufactured homes that can withstand 165 mile per hour winds. Wow. That's a pretty strong hurricane. Now, I don't personally buy those because I'm comfortable with the older ones and I like a little bit better cash flow, but there's no reason to get better cash flow if you're not going to sleep well at night. I mean, we didn't get in this business to stay up all night worrying.
Yes, yes. But I guess you can buy, can you buy insurance on those older homes or they don't want to insure the older homes, the insurance company?
You already alluded to that Florida's insurance is a nightmare right now.
Right.
And that brings mobile homes to the different level of nightmare. We do have some insurance on our really old ones. Those are grandfathered in. At this moment that we're recording this, we cannot get new coverage. I think it's on anything older than like a 1980s. That changes all over the state of Florida, what wind zone rating you're in is what they call it. Mm-hmm. So it does change depending on where you're at as close to the coast. We get hurricane coverage on any of our 90s and newer, and then we don't on our older ones. That's just me personally. That's my risk tolerance. And I honestly have properties that we self-insure. The only thing we have is liability insurance, but I bought that at such a good return on my investment. I own the dirt that if something happened, I'm willing to take that risk because I still have the value of the dirt. I can move another used one on there. I could sell the land for something else.
I see.
I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah.
I don't own three or four properties. So I'm spread my risk out. If I had three or four properties, self-insuring would scare me.
Yeah. That'd be a lot because you have three, four, it could be a lot of money.
Yeah.
Right? So how many do you have right now in your portfolio?
We take care of about 30 properties. You know, we have some that we rent out from the owner very long term with the right to sublet it out because it fit the owner's needs better. Mm-hmm. And what we're really doing today is as we buy a nicer one, you know, something in the 90s, is a stronger build, it can withstand those hurricanes better. I sell off, usually as a rent to own, one of my older ones, like the one behind me that came with most of its siding. It's not the best value of a property. Those older ones cash flow better, but yeah, they're a little bit more headache. So I'm just kind of trading up as I go, making money as I go through it. I want to grow really fast, so I use the older ones to do that.
Okay. Okay, great. That's a great thing. I'm glad you're scaling. It's good. I think it's just you scale, you grow, and you get more into it. And so, what would you say the pros? I guess the pros is that you can make pretty good cash flow individually versus a large park. A lot of people need a lot of capital, and I assume you self fund these ventures. Is that correct?
Great question there, because financing always comes up. You know what the audience is going to want. Yeah, we do self fund some, but no matter how much money you have, eventually it runs out, right?
Yeah,
you know, we spend it and it's gone. So how do you finance these old ones, the 1960s and 70s? Yeah. It's owner financing and it's private money. My friends, family, those are how I finance them. There are no banks on the 60s and 70s. You can use banks when it comes to, we'll say the 1980s and newer. They do touch a little bit of the 70s, but a lot of community banks and credit unions, they want a newer home. I don't use the banks just because I like humans better. I'd rather pay a friend and family. I'd rather pay the owner on seller financing. And then, like I said, we'll use some of our own cash. I'm not a full debt-free guy, but I'm also not a full leverage everything all the way. I want to make it through this next recession. So I use a combination of the two.
I like that you don't use no bank so far. That's great, because you can use, private money, and you also use seller, which I love seller finance because I've done that for a couple of storage deals. And I think it's great. You get a low rate. You know the owner and who'll help you out. And, if everything goes well, I mean, both parties happy. That's what I like seller financing. So.
Exactly. And the other piece is it just feels a little bit better when that check gets sent out and I know the person it goes to. If it goes to Bank of America, it feels like a bill. And it doesn't feel good when that money leaves my account. If it goes to your account and I know your story, that feels a little bit better. Than paying Bank of America, Chase, or somebody else like that. Some big bank.
Yeah, that's why I like that. I love the fact that it's a smaller individual unit. You can do those. Whereas when you have a very large property, it's probably not owned by an individual like mom and pop, where you can negotiate on easier terms. When you do it institutional quality, you can't do that on a very large like mobile home park. But on a smaller one, like these small little ones, more mom and pop, more rural mom and pop, and they probably don't have pen and paper, most likely, no Excel, nothing, but very, very, like that kind of mentality. So
100%.
Yeah. And more like they want to get to know you, meet you, shake your hand. And then once they like you, trust you, then they were able to maybe talk about something, so good, good. Well, great. So how people, you said you have some kind of, you have a PDF that you want to offer to our audience?
Yeah, I've got a free PDF. It's debunking even more myths than we had time to talk about today. Okay. It's 14 myths about mobile homes. So if you're looking at what I do, the individual units, if you're looking at a whole park, you're not really sure, you have this bad mindset about mobile homes, the first step is to upgrade your mindset so that you understand them and they're not all quote unquote trailer trash. So then you can learn about them. And the best way to get that is if you go to lifestyle-rei.com/graystone, which I'm sure you're going to put it in the show notes there. And then you can go there and you can download it for free. And if I can help you out in any way, I'm happy to help.
Great, great. Yeah, well, great. Thanks for coming on the show and connect with Adrian for these individual mobile home units. He's an expert in it and a great guy. And we'll give you a free PDF on debunking these mobile home parks. Okay, so thank you very much for coming on the show and I appreciate it, Adrian.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. For more information, you can find us online at www.graystonecapgroup.com. Check back weekly for new episodes. See you again next time.